On this week's episode, I talk about stuff that I bought from Carrie Cottage, I demo the Mel 9 guitar pedal from Electro Harmonix, I talk about the TV shows Splitting Up Together, The IT Crowd, and Roseanne, and I close out the show by talking about the Rolling Stones. There's a little something for just about everybody in this one. As always, I'm your host, Derek Brink, and you are listening to Empty Checking. Hey everybody, welcome to Empty Checking, the show that has me on it. If you like what you hear on the show and you want to learn more, you can check out the companion blog at emptychecking.blogspot.com for photos and additional information. The show itself is hosted at soundcloud.com/emptychecking. We're searchable on iTunes. If you just go to the podcast section and start typing Empty Checking with Derek Brink, we pop right up. If you just want to know more about me, go on over to derekbrink.com. There's links to a bunch of stuff there. And if you like the music that you hear throughout the show, it's all available for absolutely free at derekbrink.bandcamp.com. I don't even collect your email address. We're going to do some different stuff here this week. It's a little bit of a different setup. I'm going to be doing a sort of in-depth product review in the first segment after the upcoming musical break, but I'll just talk to you a little bit in advance of that. I've been suffering migraines again. I'm just going to put that out there. I suffered one on Saturday this week, and that was the first one I'd had in over a month, which at first I was happy that at least it had been over a month, but then again, it's also defeating to have it just be back again like that. And then Wednesday morning, I had another one at about 7:30 in the morning and worked from home that day because fortunately my office is understanding and allows you to work from home if you really need to. So I worked from home on Wednesday. But yeah, I went from not having any for over a month to having two within just several days of each other. So I don't know what's going on with my stupid brain, but it's upsetting, and it's on my mind, as you might imagine, which is probably causing further migraines. But that's going on. So I don't know. Just so that's said, if you can keep me in your, people don't let you say thoughts and prayers anymore, but that, if you could do that, I would appreciate it, or if anybody, I don't know, if anybody has a good migraine guy that they can refer me to, that might be useful as well. But that's going on, and I just wanted to mention it, because I know I've been charting the process of that, or I guess the progress of that, as this show has been unfolding, and, that's where we are here today. Otherwise, it's been kind of an interesting week. Since we last spoke, I went to, I remedied something that I spoke about in last week's show. This is one of those things where, eventually we'll be done talking about St. Patrick's Day. Because I mentioned last week that I was looking for some Barry's tea, which I had left out of my St. Patrick's episode. And it occurred to me that they probably had it for sale at one of the local Irish retailers. So I went out to Carey Cottage in lovely Maplewood, Missouri. I believe it's Maplewood there. Maplewood, Brentwood, there's a couple other places. They all kind of blend together. I believe Carey Cottage is in Maplewood. It's on Manchester, let's just say that. Or no, it's off Manchester. It's on Big Bend. My apologies. Right next to Mr. Wizard's ice cream. So it's you can make a day of that. Get some Irish stuff and then finish it off with a malt. Or banana split or something. But yeah, went out to Carey Cottage, and I'd never been there before. It was my first time in Carey Cottage. I'm slightly ashamed to say. It seems like I should have been in there by now. And I walked into the place, and within 30 seconds, it felt like home. It's a wonderful shop if you're at all Irish. And just kind of walked around and saw really cool clothes I want to buy and really cool hats I want to buy. But I was there on a mission. And I found my Barry's tea, and I found two different blends of Barry's tea. There's the gold leaf, and then there's the Irish breakfast. So being me, I bought them both, and so I've got something like 160 tea bags sitting in my kitchen right now. And I've tried both. The gold leaf, the red box, is everything that I remembered it being. And the Irish breakfast is light and refreshing and wonderful. And there will be pictures of both of those on the blog, I'm sure. While I was there, I also picked up a walking stick, a traditional Irish blackthorn walking stick that it bothered me a little bit to have to put the rubber stopper on the bottom so that it's at all useful, because I had to cover up a beautiful brass tip. But it's nice to have. It's slightly too tall for me, but I can make it work. And it's really cool. I like it, and I think it'll be a fun add to my knee problems when I have them, knee or back, whatever. Because for those who don't know, I occasionally walk with a cane once in a while. It's not an all-the-time thing, but sometimes I've got a sciatic problem that now and again a cane is helpful. So I've got an Irish one now that I can use here and there. Or maybe I'll take the rubber stopper back off the bottom and just lean it up against the wall somewhere, and it can just be kind of a talking point if you're over at my house. We can talk about Irish stuff. Who knows? But it's cool. I like it. I'm glad I have it. And that's the kind of thing that I think is fun to find and to have around. While I was buying that, the lady behind the counter was telling me that they'd had a woman in who was from Ireland and keeps a shillelagh in her purse. If you don't know what a shillelagh is, that can describe several things, but the one that you'd have in mind normally if you're Irish and someone says shillelagh looks a little bit like a pipe, so like a cross between a pipe and a hammer. It's got kind of a blunt end, kind of a sort of like a hammerhead end, and then kind of a long stem going back off of it that comes to sort of a point, a little bit of a point. And it's a decorative piece for most people, but it can also be used as a weapon. In fact, I believe it was designed to be a weapon. It's just kind of become a decorative piece among Irish Americans. But a lady apparently from Ireland kept a shillelagh in her purse, and one day a man came up from behind her and grabbed her by the shoulders, and she just reached into her bag and flung the shillelagh behind her head and hit him right between the eyes and knocked him unconscious and bloodied his nose, and, you know, just was telling them all this story, and they were kind of, oh, wow, that's a heck of a story. And even when the person behind the counter was telling it to me, I said, oh, good for her. Good for her defending herself like that. And she said, yeah. She went into further detail and told us that, you know, if you turn it around, you could take the pointy end and you could shove it into their neck right here and just do a lot of damage. And that made me cringe a little. Still good for her, but ooh. you know. If you need a shillelagh, if you need a walking stick, if you need tea, if you just need a nice warm sweater or a beautiful vest, I'm going to go back there soon for a vest. I just know I'm going to. You can go to Carey Cottage here in lovely Maplewood, Missouri, and they've got anything Irish that you could possibly be looking for, except I didn't find any Connemara marble, but maybe they just didn't have any in stock at the moment. But I like that place a lot. They're going to get to know my name, so I wanted to mention them here on the show. Just a reminder that absolutely nobody sponsors this show in any way. Any views are my own, and it's just stuff that I like to buy. So Carey Cottage was a lot of fun, and it was really cool. I enjoyed being there a lot. The only other kind of personal thing that I would say at the front of an episode normally is I'm just about done with my next solo record, It Could Be Worse, that hopefully will be out in time for my birthday if I do things right. It all depends on when I can get a photo session scheduled. My birthday is at the end of May, so hopefully in time for Memorial Day celebrations, there will be a new Derek Brink record in your lives, and I'm pretty proud of it. I'm happy with it. I just need to get the photo session to happen, which can take some planning, even though there's only two of us involved. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to having it done. I'm looking forward to getting the packaging together and all that. And I'm proud of the record. I like it a lot, and I think you'll like it too. And I'm already starting to write the next one. That's how my brain works. I don't stop writing, ever. And so I'm already writing the next one, and the next one's going to get weird. partially because of something that I'm going to talk about here in a minute on the show. It's going to be kind of a different record on the one after It Could Be Worse. But hey, we'll focus on It Could Be Worse for a while. You'll hear a lot about that in the upcoming weeks, including some sound clips, etc., etc. You know how it goes, but that'll be together soon. I'm really looking forward to getting it out there. It's a good one. I'll say that. I mean, I know that it's tacky to praise your own work, but this is actually a good one. I think you'll like it. I'm looking forward to people hearing it. It's got some songs that mean a lot to me on it. On that note, let's go ahead and do a little bit of a pause here, and we'll come back and talk about some more music stuff that I think you'll find pretty interesting, because I certainly did. Here's a little bit of me playing and singing something, probably. I don't know. I put the music in later. But here's the first break, and we'll be back, and we'll talk about a new guitar thing that I bought. You gotta give it up.
I used to say to myself, I said I'm gonna get out of here someday.
Those of you who have known me for a while will find it no big surprise that I am a collector of guitar pedals, little effects and things to make your guitar sound different, sometimes a distortion, sometimes a chorus, sometimes a delay. I collect the things. I've got an insanely big board, and I like adding to it, and I like finding new stuff to toss onto it. And I found myself a humdinger here recently. There's a company out there called Electroharmonix that makes some of my favorite weird effects on the market. They also make some of my least favorite distortions and overdrives, but they make some really cool effect-based pedals, and I picked up one this week that's been out for a little while, but I just haven't gotten yet. They have a line of pedals that are designed to turn your guitar into more or less a synthesizer to mimic keyboard tones. They have ones out there for organs and for different synths and things, and I've had my eye on the line for a while, and I only recently looked into their pedal, the Mel 9. Which is meant to emulate the old Mellotron of the 60s and 70s, which was a keyboard that triggered sound files and sound samples of different instruments, and you'd be playing the keyboard and sampling these things through use of either a vinyl record or magnetic tape, depending. And it was a really interesting thing, and it was used heavily, like, by the Beatles. You can hear especially, like, the flute effects and things that the Beatles used on a Mellotron. And Electroharmonix tossed all that wonderful technology into just one little pedal. It doesn't trigger samples. It's just it processes it through a bunch of stuff, and it comes out sounding like a different instrument. So your guitar sounds like it has strings involved, or like it has flute sounds and stuff like that. And it's kind of an amazing effect. And I watched a video on it and sort of knew I had to have it. So I picked it up this past week. I've had it in my possession for roughly 24 hours, and I'm sitting here about to do a demo of it for you. That's how much I like the pedal. It's a definite win for me, and I could see it being a really handy writing tool moving forward. In fact, I can see it even being something that I'd overuse, but I think it's really cool, and I thought I'd share it with you. I'm going to play through the 9 settings on it, and I'm going to do it kind of fast, but you'll get a sense of it. The guitar I'm playing is an interesting guitar, actually. It was a gift. It was given to me as payment for a record that I recorded for my friend Mike Feldman and his band, the Michael Feldman Group. He gave me a really cool 80s era Telecaster, but it's been heavily modded. It doesn't have the standard Telecaster pickups in it. It instead has three single coils. And instead of a three-position toggle switch, it has a five-position. I can get cool Tele sounds out of it, but I can also get cool kind of Strat sounds out of it, which means something to guitarists out there, but probably not to people who don't play. It has a D tuner on it. It has a B bender on it. It has locking string tuners. I think the nut was replaced as well. It's a really interesting guitar. And I've also tossed on there a couple little cosmetic things. In the pick guard, I put a pick that says The Who on it. And on the back of the neck facing me, only I would ever know what's there, I wrote the name Lou, L-O-U, on the back of the guitar the day that Lou Reed died, because I figured my guitar would miss him too. So that's on the guitar as well. But it's an interesting guitar, and it's one I like to play. I play it a lot. It's one of my favorites sitting around playing guitars. If you listen to my brother's album over at davidbrink.bandcamp.com, Dave and the Not-So-Daves album Hits in a Perfect World, I played the Telecaster all over that as a rhythm instrument. And it's a cool guitar, and I'm running it in basically just to the board. I'm not EQing at all. The only EQ is the tone knob on the guitar. I'm putting it through an MXR Dynacomp compressor pedal, because that's the secret to the Derek Brink electric guitar tone, is compression. Never not compression. From the compressor, it's going into the Mel 9. From the Mel 9, it's going into the digital delay. And the digital delay is there just to kind of warm up the sound a little bit and fill up the room a little bit, because I'm playing alone here. After that, I'm just going direct into the board with no additional EQ or anything. There's just the only real effect on it is the delay on the back end, and then, of course, the Mel 9 in the middle. As a side note on the Mel 9, I have a niece named Melody, who we often end up just calling Mel a lot. So what I've done is on the pedal, I've taken Melody's picture from her yearbook and cut out the picture, and I've pasted it over the word Mel on the pedal. So it's the Mel 9, but it's kind of customized. I'll have photos of everything on the blog. I'll go into more detail about the guitar on the blog. The pedal itself, I will have one photo of, and it won't be the one with Melody's picture on it, because she's 7, and I'm not going to put her picture on a blog that I'm encouraging every random stranger that ever hears of me to go to. You never know who's out there, but I'll have a picture of the bare pedal on the blog as well. This thing's got a lot to offer in a tiny, tiny package, and I think it's really cool, so I wanted to share it with you. Going into it, here's what my guitar is going to sound like clean. I'll play a little bit of Just Another Day off of the Wayne County EP and or Sorry I Didn't Mean to Shout, available at Bandcamp. Running direct, that's a pretty good sound. The Mel 9 will emulate a whole bunch of different sounds, and you can do one of two things with it. You can get just the effect sound, just the synth sound, and that is interesting, and if mixed into a track, it could sound pretty good. But where it really shines is you can also blend in the guitar tone so that you're playing the guitar and you can play as aggressively as you want to, and it almost intuitively knows just which notes in a chord to grab, which is, I don't know if they planned that or if it's just a lucky happenstance, but it, when you blend in the guitar tone with the effect, it's really cool. But I'll play a little bit of, what I'm gonna do is two kind of segments. I'll play a little of just the effect, and then I'll go back and show you what it sounds like with the guitar mixed in. The effects in and of themselves would be perfectly fine if you layer them into a recording, but, on their own, some of them show some weaknesses and have some different glitches in them that are covered up when you mix in a guitar tone. So that's kind of an explanation of how I'm handling it. This is a cool pedal. I like it a lot, and I like what it does, but I thought it needed a little bit of background there. The first sound on it is called Orchestra, and it's meant to mimic, you guessed it, the sound of an orchestra. Me, I think it sounds a little bit more like a pipe organ, but you be the judge. Here's just an A chord on the orchestra setting. That was a guitar. I didn't play that on a keyboard. That was a guitar. Isn't that cool? Here's some of Just Another Day with that. That's pretty cool. That was overwhelming the first time I plugged it in and did it, and it may have been for some of you to hear it too. I have no idea how loud the mix is going to be. That's a lot of fun, and that was the orchestra tone. It has 8 more, and only 2 of them suck. The second tone on it is a cello. It mimics the sound of a cello, and I gotta say, it's a pretty good cello effect. It actually works best if you just play it on single notes. So I'll play just sort of the root note of some of Just Another Day there for you. That's pretty cool, and it sounds best single notes, but it can work in chords. It kind of. I just like it better as single notes on the cello effect, although it sounds pretty cool when you mix the guitar in, which you'll hear in just a minute. One of the interesting things about this pedal, and I want to say it before it really happens because I felt myself starting to do it there and had to stop myself, it actually tracks with you if you bend the string, which it really shouldn't do. I'm actually going to switch back to that orchestra effect. And I say it shouldn't do it, not that it wasn't designed to do it, but it's just crazy that it does it. it's bizarre that it's so chromatic and so polyphonic that it can do it. Here's on the orchestra setting, I'll bend the note. That should be impossible, and they figured out a way to do it. Cello, it makes a little more sense since it's a stringed instrument. You know, who cares? That just sounds like a cello. But it's cool that it sounds like a cello. Again, I'm playing this all on a guitar. It's amazing. The next one is a strings setting, so it's more of a full string, kind of chamber string arrangement. And very big sounding, again, much like the orchestra setting, but just focusing on strings. Sounds a little bit less like a pipe organ. I think that's pretty. So impressive. I don't know how they do that. Sounds weird to bend that one too. There's also a flute setting, and this one's very Beatles-y. I'm actually gonna play something different on the flute setting. I'm gonna play part of a song off the new record called Amanda I'm Tired that has some nice little broken chords in one of the guitar parts on it that'd work. Here's what that would sound like without the effect. Now let's put some flutes on that thing and get kind of Beatles-y here. That's another one of those effects that's almost better just by itself. That's really cool and very, very Beatles-y, and I like it a lot. That sounds really pretty with the guitar mixed in, which again, you'll hear in a minute. The one right next to it has a very similar kind of range to it. It's meant to be a clarinet, and it sounds basically clarinet-y. It doesn't work out great with chords, so I'm going to just play a little bit of it. That's a pretty good clarinet. It sounds weird in a chord, though. Actually, that's not too bad, I guess, is it? The clarinet doesn't know what to do with some of those lower notes. Like, that played a couple of... It's trying to find its octave, so you kind of have to be picky and choosy with where you're going to play some of these, some of the songs with some of these effects, but it's a reasonably good sounding clarinet for what it is, but it sounds more like a bass flute to me or something. The next one, the next tone I really have no use for, it's supposed to be a saxophone, but you tell me. Doesn't sound a thing like a saxophone. That's weird. Maybe you could do kind of a... kind of that thing, but that sounds really strange. I don't like the sax effect very much at all. Not gonna mess around with it anymore. That's just kind of what it sounds like. The one after that is my least favorite on it. I don't think this one works out at all. Maybe it does a great job of recreating the mellotron sound, but I just don't like the sound. This is supposed to be a brass arrangement. Nope. let's try a full chord or something on that. Yeah, that, I don't know what that's supposed to be. It's supposed to be brass, but it just sounds like a weird reverse effect. We're gonna move on. I'm not gonna come back to that one when I play it with the guitar in there. The last two effects are respectively called low choir and high choir, and they mimic the sound of kind of a choir going ah, you know, and they're similar effects. I like the second one a little bit more. I like the high choir a little bit more. I feel like it opens up a little bit better. But here they are. Here's low choir. Just play a couple of chords here. That sounds okay. That's kind of cool. It could be cool mixed into something. I like the high choir a little bit better. I think that sounds really cool. I like that. And those two effects sound really cool with the guitar mixed in. I've been talking about mixing in the guitar for the run of this so far, so let's actually do it. Let's go back to orchestra, the very first setting, and we'll play a little bit of Just Another Day Again with the orchestra in the background. And this is where the pedal really shines, is when you blend the guitar in, because suddenly you're not just a guy playing alone in a coffee house, you're a guy playing with an orchestra in the coffee house. So here's what that sounds like. Isn't that cool how it just tracks with the guitar? I love that. That's really cool. That's not even my favorite of the effects. let's play the same thing, but put it on the cello effect, and you can see how that kind of, what I was talking about with how it kind of grabs the right parts of the chord. That's really cool. Here's the strings, same basic thing. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, if I was playing in a church regularly still and knew that I didn't have a key player, I could see myself using that string effect a lot. That'd sound really cool and kind of a dual acoustic thing with maybe some bongos. I could see myself using that quite a bit. Here's the flute effect that I was talking about that I love so much, and I'll play that same piece from earlier, Amanda, I'm Tired, with the flute going. I wish I hadn't missed that last chord. There you go. Just mentally patch that in where that chord should have gone. That sounds beautiful. I love that flute effect. Clarinet sounds equally as good on that progression. So here's the clarinet. The clarinet almost sounds better if you just let the chord ring out, so. That's one of the things I'm learning about this pedal. You sort of have to adapt your playing to the pedal in some cases. The next one is the saxophone, which I mentioned I don't like as much, but let's try playing that sort of blues thing that I was doing and see how that sounds with the guitar mixed in. Okay, I can kind of see it there, but I still don't like it, so I'm not even going to try with the horns. It's just weird. I don't like it. So moving on, let's move on to the choir voices. I'll play something off of my first solo album, off Grounds, for this one, because I think it'll sound nice with the choir voices, and also I just kind of like noodling with this one. I'll play part of Stranger for this one. Let's do the high choir. That sounds fantastic. What would that sound like with the orchestra? How about just strings? I went nuts with flutes. That's just such a cool effect. The Electroharmonix Mel 9, definitely a welcomed add to my pedal board. There's two effects on it I don't like, but that means that there's seven that I do, and that was me having had it for 24 hours and not playing around with two of the knobs very much. So once I really learn what it can do, I can see it being a very valuable tool to me. If you're a guitarist and you've been on the fence about the 9 series, I guess they're calling it, of the Electroharmonix pedals. Actually, I don't know if they're calling it that or not, but I am. If you've been on the fence about anything in that line, pick it up. It's a cool set of effects. I've got my eye on the C9 pedal next to get some of those organ tones. But that's going to be a little bit, because they're sort of expensive pedals, and I've got a record to put out, but the Mel 9 is really cool. I like it, I recommend it, and I hope you agree with me and that wasn't a complete waste of your time, because that was a lot of fun for me, and you can probably tell that playing Stranger there, I just wanted to keep experimenting, but I realized I'm doing a show, so let's go ahead and end this here. I hope you found that interesting. It's really cool how far music technology has come. As much as I'm a Luddite, as much as my favorite thing will always be just the sound of a acoustic guitar played on its own, preferably slightly badly, I do like how far the technology has come, that I can push a button and twist a knob and I've got a string section behind me. And as I've said, if you have enough of these in a row, soon you won't need a band at all anymore. You won't need to even know anyone. You can just go into a place and live a very lonely existence playing songs that you've written just for yourself. That got sad. The point is, it's a cool pedal, and I'm going to enjoy using it quite a bit. It won't be on the It Could Be Worse record at all, but I think it's going to feature on the next one after that quite a bit, because I've played around with some of the new stuff I'm writing and run it through that pedal, and I like it a lot. So that's really cool. I'm glad to be able to review a piece of musical equipment and give it a positive review. Good job on this one, Electro-Harmonix, and I'm looking forward to playing around with that series some more. So hope everybody enjoyed that. We're going to do a little bit of a musical break and come back and talk about some more stuff. And since you had to put up with it so much there, let's go ahead and give you the actual decently composed studio version from the Wayne County record of Just Another Day here in this break. Hope you enjoy it. Let's talk about TV a little bit, now that we've got all the music stuff and my my wankery out of the way. Let's be honest about it. Let's talk about some TV. I've been watching some stuff lately and I thought I'd share with you. I did not, just to go on record with it, I did not watch The Return of Roseanne, and I don't plan to. It has nothing to do with her politics. I know a lot of people have been protesting the fact that she's a Trump supporter, and look, it has nothing to do with her politics. The reason that I'm not watching the show, because I didn't enjoy the first run. Frankly, I didn't. A lot of people that I know talk about seeing their own family and the Connor family on Roseanne, and that makes me sad to hear, because it makes me sad that so many people came from such horrible families that definitely wouldn't be in close communication 20 years later, as this show is claiming that they would be. I just feel like the Roseanne show celebrates all the worst parts of living in the suburbs and the declining middle class that I don't know. I've never been a Roseanne fan in anything that she's done in particular. A couple things here and there have made me laugh, or I've gone, oh, it's kind of nice, she was a good fit for that role or something. But I just never liked the Roseanne show, and learning more and more about the production of the original series made me respect it less and less. The fact that Roseanne Barr would bring in just friends of hers and give them a writing job. They have no experience writing. They're not even familiar with the show. There's a runner on My Name is Earl that you may be familiar with, that they will shout the words, "Who, Jackie?" And it's usually an exclamation. It's usually something of excitement. "Who, Jackie?" Something like that. That comes from a story that is possibly apocryphal, but so many people have told it that it's probably true. From the dying days of the Roseanne show original run, Roseanne's sister on the show is called Jackie, and she's been Jackie for the entire run of the show. I don't like the show, and I know that. And apparently one of Roseanne's friends, who was brought in to be a writer, was sitting in a session, and they said, well, we've got to come up with something for Jackie in this one, and they asked the question, "Who, Jackie?" And that became just an industry thing that people laugh about, and it became a line of dialogue in My Name is Earl, a recurring runner. And when you find out that the inmates are running the asylum that badly, it kind of it hurts your view of the art, I think, or at least I feel like it should. And I've just never been a Roseanne fan, so no, I'm not watching the reboot. But no, it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that she voted for Donald Trump. I would rather that she didn't. Sure, I'll say that. But that's not why I'm not watching her show. I'm not watching her show because I don't think she's funny. I'm sorry, I just don't. I think there are plenty of funny female comics out there, and I don't know why they don't have television shows. Although I found out that a couple of female comics that I respect quite a bit are writing for the show. So that kind of made me think twice about it. But I wouldn't be watching it with the same reverence that everybody else who's watching it has for it. I'd be watching it as someone who didn't like the original, with my arms folded, waiting for it to impress me, and then walk away very self-satisfied that it didn't, because I'm not celebrating the nostalgia of it. So that's where I am with it. That said, there are a lot of people involved with the show that I like quite a bit, including several of the cast members. I'm a big John Goodman fan. I like Sarah Chalk quite a bit. Sarah Gilbert, is so ingrained in my head as Darlene on that show that when I see her, I want to call her Darlene instead of Sarah Gilbert. She's wonderful. I've seen her in a lot of stuff in recent years. She's done bit parts on Big Bang Theory, for example, and she's been great in that. There are a lot of people involved with the show that I like quite a bit, and I love Laurie Metcalf. She's fantastic. So I wish them nothing but success. I just won't be part of it, is where I am with Roseanne. And I don't like the titular Roseanne either, so as a comic, but to each their own. I'm just happy that she's happy. What I have been watching and enjoying from the where the hell have I been category, from the coming to it almost 10 years too late category, I've been watching The IT Crowd, the British show that my brother got me into this past weekend. He's been watching it, and he showed me the first episode. And when I was over at his house on Friday night, he showed me the first episode, and I enjoyed it, and it made me laugh. And it's written by Graham Linehan, or Linehan. I think it's Linehan. I think I've heard people say Linehan. It's helmed by Graham Linehan, who was also behind Father Ted, who was also behind Black Books. I like his voice in the stuff that he produces. So it's kind of shocking that I haven't watched The IT Crowd before, especially because I'm in the demographic for it. And all of my friends who like British shows, the second I mentioned that I like British comedies, they ask me if I've watched The IT Crowd, and I keep saying no. But now I can finally say yes, because I dove in hard in the past week watching The IT Crowd, and I think I'm very nearly done watching the four seasons and a special that make up the show list. And really funny show, well-formed characters, very funny characters, excellent dialogue and situations, and has that sort of British-Irish voice that I like so much. And if you're like myself and you've been not watching The IT Crowd just based on, that's another thing to watch, and today isn't the day, make tomorrow the day, because it's worth your time. And it's on Netflix, and everybody has Netflix, so go to Netflix and watch it. It's worth your time. I've gotten some good, deep belly laughs out of it. And on a day like today, where I stayed home with a migraine and just needed something on in the background to keep me company, it was very good company, and it made me laugh very hard in the midst of not feeling 100%. So that's the most I can ask out of a show, and I'm very grateful that it was around today. And if you're at all a fan of anything that Graham Linehan has done as a writer and as a producer, it's very much his tone. It feels like something he would have written. It feels like the characters from Father Ted and Black Books got together and made a show. So it works for me. And IT Crowd's good news. I'm embarrassed that it took me this long to finally watch it, but I'm very glad that I did watch it. And now I get all the jokes when my other British comedy friends reference it. So that's a plus as well. And the last TV thing I wanted to talk about is that I watched the premiere of a show that has kind of a shaky premise, but is well acted enough that I think it's worth your time. I'm talking about Splitting Up Together, starring Jenna Fischer and Oliver Hudson. In the interest of full disclosure, yes, I'm watching this because I'm sort of in love with Jenna Fischer. Not in, like, a weird stalkery way, just in that she's been really good in all the things I've seen her in, and she's from St. Louis, so I've kind of kept up with her career. Jenna Fischer's fantastic. She has a innocence to how she presents herself as an actress, but sort of a world-wise innocence, if that makes any sense at all. She manages to appear optimistic, but also aware of what the world can do to you and how she presents her characters. And that fits this role very well in Splitting Up Together. The premise of the show is kind of a mess, I'll say that. I heard about the show and I wasn't into the premise of it, because the premise is that the characters, Jenna Fischer and Oliver Hudson, the two of them, their characters are married and they're getting a divorce, but they financially can't afford to move into their own houses, so they're going to continue living together, raising their kids. But they're going to be dating other people and living independent lives under the same roof. And it's not a great concept, but I watched the premiere and it works. I know it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound like a good premise. It sounds clunky and faulty. And do we really need them to be living together? Can't they just be a divorced couple that still has a Sam Diane, well, they won't they thing going on? Yeah, it could have been that, but I think it serves what they want to do with the writing a little bit better, that they are living within feet of each other, and that I think it's going to work out pretty good, because it's clear that they still have feelings for one another, and it looks as though she's moving on quicker than he is, which could create some interesting plots. And it's a comedy, by the way, don't worry, it doesn't, you know, I know hearing, you know, she's moving on quicker than he is in the day and age that we're in sounds dangerous, but it's a comedy, and there are several moments that made me laugh in the premiere. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I went into it not very optimistic, but just figuring, well, I follow Jenna Fischer on Instagram and she's been promoting it, I'll give it a chance. I watched it, and I was very pleasantly surprised that I didn't think it was terrible. I actually laughed and enjoyed it, and she's very pleasant throughout of it. He's very charming. I don't know anything about Oliver Hudson except what I saw tonight. He is a very charming leading man. And I think it has a chance if it catches the audience in the right way. If it catches the right audience, it has a chance of making it a pretty good run. I don't know how long you can play out will they, won't they in a show called Splitting Up Together. That sounds like maybe a 3-season thing, you know, but it deserves those 3 seasons based on what I saw tonight. I really enjoyed it, and I'd encourage you to watch it. And not just because I'm weirdly in love with Jenna Fischer. one thing bothers me a little bit about how they've had to promote the show is that they've been dealing with a lot of Office fans essentially complaining that, well, that's Pam from The Office and she's not with Jim from The Office. I don't know if I can accept that. And, like, they've had to release video promos saying, you're right, Oliver isn't Jim, but we think that you'll enjoy his charm, you know. And they've had to, like, do Facebook campaigns to just kind of say, yes, we're aware that it's not The Office and that she's not playing Pam in this, get over it. They've had to kind of say that. At the same time, John Krasinski, who played Jim on The Office, has a movie coming out this week, I think. I think it's out this weekend or next. It's called A Quiet Place, and it's a thriller. And at no point during that have they had to say, it's John Krasinski, but he's not Jim this time. They haven't had to play that same angle with Krasinski that they're having to play with Jenna Fischer. It'd be one thing if this was her first role after The Office, Because, like, Krasinski's had a few, and, like, the big deal about the one that he did that was a war movie was that he suddenly has really good abs, and that's kind of confusing. But they didn't have to push the, you know, for A Quiet Place, they haven't had to do anything like, this isn't the gym, you knew, this time he's scary and knows how to use a gun. They didn't have to release any of that for this movie, and Jenna Fisher's done a number of projects in between things. The Dewey Cox Walk Hard thing, that movie, Blades of Glory, I think is another movie she was in. She's done a couple of TV shows that have met with varying degrees of success, that none of which are on, and we all hope that Splitting Up Together will go far, far longer than the other ones that she's been involved with. This isn't the first thing that she's done after The Office either, and yet, what, 5 years later, they're having to apologize that it's not The Office because Jenna Fisher's in it? That seems unfair and uneven and kind of sexist. So don't go into it thinking that it's going to be The Office, because of course it isn't going to be The Office, because it's not called The Office. Just go into it and enjoy it for what it is. And I went into it actually kind of expecting to not enjoy it because it just, the premise sounded slightly weak, but I came out on the other side having really enjoyed it, and I'm gonna watch again next week, and I hope others will join me. So if you're one of the people that needs to be apologized to for her not playing Pam Beasley, get over it. Grow up. You're an adult. Stop that. It's she's an actress, and she's playing a different role, and she's great in it, and she was great in her previous role too, so she deserves your support in this one, because she's the same person, and she's still great. I don't get it. I don't get the mindset of having to apologize for the actress when you certainly didn't apologize for the actor, so. Anyway, just wanted to say all that. I don't really know why I wanted to say all that. I've been noticing it and it bothers me. And mostly I just wanted to say Splitting Up Together is better than you think it's going to be. So give it a chance if you're on the fence. It's probably on some streaming service somewhere or another. I'm sure they'll... It doesn't seem like episode 2 depends heavily on you having seen episode 1. But episode 1 is worth seeing. But I think you can probably jump in on episode 2 and get a good sense of it. So check it out. It's on some channel. I don't know. I DVR'd it. I think you'll enjoy it if you're a fan of sort of lighthearted relationship comedies. And let's face it, we all are at heart. So Splitting Up Together, worth your time. IT Crowd, also worth your time. Roseanne, might be worth your time, wasn't worth mine. That's where we stand on TV this week. We've got one more segment to close this out. But before we do, here's a little bit more music from You Know Who.
I've still got the photograph in an old beat-up frame.
All right, folks, on our way out this week, we're just going to touch on something real quick. It's Easter. Easter coming up on Sunday, the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, or somebody's Lord. Maybe it's not our Lord. He's usually mine, but he may be yours as well. I don't know. Easter coming up on Sunday. Don't really have any Easter traditions in my family. Not any to, you know, spend a whole lot of time talking about anyway, but it's a significant holiday. It's sort of strange that we have a far more deeply rooted tradition for St. Patrick's Day, which I've talked about for 3, maybe 4 weeks. And Easter, I'm going to give less than 5 minutes of conversation, probably. But it is coming up on Sunday. I'm sure some of you have big plans, and I hope you have a lot of fun doing it. Me, I'm going to be buying discount chocolate the day after. So that's my plan for Easter, for the most part. Although Dad and I, I'm sure, will have dinner together that night. Easter is also April Fool's Day. Tell me that's not hilarious. I used to be a minister, but it's such a good thing that I'm not now, because I wouldn't be able to resist. I wouldn't be able to resist at the sunrise service on Easter Sunday. Just, he is risen, he is risen, gotcha! I wouldn't be able to... if you're going to go to hell, you may as well go laughing. I wouldn't be able to resist it. There's too many excellent jokes just sitting there waiting. There's something else I have to talk about that day. Because, yes, it's Easter, and yes, it's April Fool's Day. I'll be spending most of that day listening to the band The Rolling Stones, and not just because that's appropriate for Easter. I'll be doing that because April the 1st is also the anniversary of the death of my cousin Patrick, who I, for some reason this year, I'm missing more than the previous three. This is the fourth year he's been gone. And there's not a pleasant way to say this. Patrick took his own life several years ago, and that's explored musically on my Something to Look Forward To album in the song Patrick's Song, and the Inkstained Fingers record before that was dedicated to him. It's a sad day for me. I sometimes have wondered if he picked April Fool's Day on purpose, just kind of as a... he had a very dark sense of humor, so I've often wondered about that, but who knows. Patrick loved the Rolling Stones, and I'm going to do him the service of listening to them on Sunday. I will say real quickly, if you're struggling with any particularly dark thoughts that you don't know how to deal with and you don't know who to talk to, you can absolutely anonymously call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. It's 1-800-273-TALK. If all you have to remember is a 273-TALK, 8255. If you need to turn to someone and you don't know who to turn to, you can start there. And I believe they have an online chat that's related to that as well that you can also get into anonymously, but I'm not 100% on that, but I think so. If you need help, you need to get help. So don't make the wrong decisions. I'm going to be thinking about Patrick a little bit on Sunday, and I'm definitely going to be listening to the Rolling Stones, and that'll help, I think, because the Rolling Stones typically are a good time for me, because there's the classic question of Beatles or Stones. You know, do you prefer the Beatles or do you prefer the Stones? And for the longest time, if I'm answering it seriously, I'll say, well, the Beatles were better songwriters, but the Stones were a better rock band, is kind of how I feel about it. And I very much enjoy listening to the Stones, and I haven't done it for a while, so I'm looking forward to that. I loaded up everything on the phone the other night, and I'm looking forward to listening to the Stones. But which, by the way, if you ever ask me the Beatles or Stones question and I'm in a slightly surly mood, you'll say Beatles or Stones, and I'll say trick question, Velvet Underground. my brother says trick question The Who, which is a better answer, but the Velvet Underground was at least around in somewhat similar of a time frame, so I go with them. But about the Stones, it's been a while since I've listened to them, and I was loading up stuff on the phone and getting excited to hear some albums I haven't heard in a while, and there are three Stones albums that are kind of my favorites, because they've got, I think, 25 albums, but there are three that I gravitate toward, and that's Goat's Head Soup, Beggar's Banquet, and Let It Bleed. Those are my three favorites. If you ask me for a favorite Stones record, it's probably one of those. I know that Goat's Head Soup would be the outlier. It'd be the one that'd be first removed from that list, because it's weird, but that's why I like it. So Let It Bleed or Beggar's Banquet. I'm getting the two track lists confused in my head. Well, hang on. I've got them in here somewhere. Wait a second. Hold on. Glimpse behind the curtain. You can hear me setting down stuff, and this sure makes for good listening. Doesn't it? The guy across the room yelling at you. Okay. Okay. Sorry about that. Let's see. Goat's Head Soup would... that one would kind of drop away quickly, although it's got Star Star on it, so you know. So favorite Stones album would be between Let It Bleed and Beggar's Banquet. Let's look at the track lists here. Beggar's Banquet, Sympathy for the Devil, No Expectations, Dear Doctor, Parachute Woman... Jigsaw Puzzle, Street Fighting Man, Prodigal Son, Stray Cat Blues, Factory Girl, Salt of the Earth, Let It Bleed, Love in Vain, Midnight Rambler, Give Me Shelter, You Got the Silver, You Can't Always Get What You Want, that song haunts me, Live With Me, Monkey Man, and Country Honk. Okay, I'm gonna have to give the edge to Let It Bleed. As of right now, favorite Stones record, Let It Bleed. That's what we'll go with. Looking forward to listening to that one. Those are my big Easter plans, is to sit around, slightly sad, listening to the Rolling Stones. You could have worse plans, I suppose. You could probably also have better, but that's what I'm going to be doing. If you need any Stones recommendations, ask me and I will deliver them unto you. But my favorite is Let It Bleed as of this recording. You were here for when it was decided. I hope you feel special. I hope you all have a happy Easter, those of you who celebrate. Those of you who don't, I hope you have a happy April Fool's Day, even though I'm not much for that particular holiday, quote-unquote holiday, anyway. Not a fan of practical jokes. I think that they're rarely practical and never jokes. It's one thing to just kind of give somebody some crap when they're in the room with you and you're thinking on your feet. It's a whole other thing to plan something. That doesn't seem like your friends at all. So I'm just not an April Fool's guy, but if you are, hey, I hope you enjoy alienating everybody that loves you. But hey, it's also a day that's about redemption and forgiveness and resurrection, so maybe that works. I'm floundering on my way out of this thing, as so often happens. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you are, if you're a guitarist, you're going to buy that pedal that I talked about. Maybe you'll watch some TV stuff. And I do hope that you all have a very happy Easter filled with love and happiness and all that kind of crap. I'll talk to you next time. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks for your support. Check out the blog for lots of pictures and stuff. And check us out next time. Bye. Exile on Main Street only has one good song on it. There, I said it.